I was starting to think this message just isn't meant to be preached, because this is actually the third time I've attempted to preach it here and could not preach it. So we'll see if I'll actually get to do it this time. The first time I was going to preach it on Father's Day, and then our Father's Day activities went too long, and so I was going to preach it last week, and then the Spirit took over, and so here we are. And I was watching how the worship was progressing during this service. I thought, well, it may not happen again today, but we'll see. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, and we'll be reading through verses 5 through 10. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. My mother told me that this morning she woke up with just this feeling that something special was going to happen today. And she couldn't sleep. She was so excited. And I've been feeling the same way this entire week. I've just been preparing myself for today, because I believe that God has something special for us. Amen. If you have Matthew 8, 5, say amen. All right. Matthew 8, 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I read verse 9 again. From there, I'll primarily be taking my thought. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. I want to preach to you a message entitled, Man Under Authority. This is about as far as I got in the message last week, so I think I'm already doing good as it is. But we're just going to pray and just ask for God's blessing. And as I said last week, my objective in preaching this has not changed, and that I desire for someone to be saved. I desire for someone to be born again. I mean, it's good that we shout, and it's good that we praise and have a good time and a good refreshing, but really the kingdom's business is to see people born again, to see someone's life transformed. And it is to this end that I'll be speaking on today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, again, we position ourselves, God, ready to receive your word. And I pray, Lord God, let your Spirit even now fill my mouth, fill, oh God, my mind, that I might speak with clarity your word, that people might be born again, that people might be delivered and set free. God, that we would walk in the dominion and the position, God, that you have appointed for us to walk in. That, oh Lord Jesus, that through your name and through your power, through your Spirit, through your word, that we'd conquer every foe and every enemy that we should confront. And I speak it right now in the name of Jesus. Have your way. Let your will be done in this place. We give you praise and glory. And in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say amen. You may be seated. There are three questions I desire to try and answer, and again, I will do my best to be timely. The first of which, in relation to our text, is what is authority? Secondly, how do I receive authority? And thirdly, how do I get under authority? What is authority? How do I receive authority? And how do I get under authority? Question number one, as to what is authority? The word authority comes from the Greek word kephaleia in 1 Corinthians 11:3, if you want to get that up on the screen. It says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And that Greek word there, as I said before, is kephaleia, which means anything supreme, chief, prominent, or authority. And in this particular text, we see that God has created what we call a divine chain of command, a system of government that is set up within the family. Again, originally this message was designed for Father's Day, so it's going to kind of have a little bit of a Father's Day, you know, spin on it. So just kind of bear with me here. But God had set up a divine chain of command within the family. And as long as that command was followed, that there would be order. The reason why that I'm focusing on the family, because the family is the smallest social unit. It's the building block with all other social structures and societies. That without families, you don't have any societies. That it's through families that there is procreation and that there is cultures that are set up. And the thing is, the enemy has done the best he can to assault and to assassinate families. He's tried to attack it through immorality, through sexual morality, through a misunderstanding as to what the role roles are within the home. And because of that, there is no true dominion, there is no authority. When we read here in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, but I would have you know that the head, talking about authority, could also be translated, the authority of every man is Christ, and the authority of the woman, or the head, is the man, and the authority of Christ is God. And the thing is, what we have to understand is, in marriage, particularly in Christian circles, we often use the word submission in relation to women and to the wife, that her duty is to submit under her husband. But we fail to recognize that the husband, the man in the home, has a duty to submit as well. That actually it's through his submission that the others can also follow and submit. And one of the reasons why that we have wives that are unsubmissive under their husbands is because the husband is not submissive unto his God, unto his authority, which is in Christ. We often, as I said before, we use that word submission to refer to women, but really it needs to be appropriated to man. And because it's so hard to find a man that actually understands authority, is respectful of authority, we have women chasing after guys that they have no business chasing after. Could you get Isaiah 4:1 on the screen real quick? I want you guys to see this. Isaiah 4:1. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. And if that don't sound like Milwaukee, I don't know what does. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. So let me get this straight. Seven ladies are fighting for one guy. They'll say, you don't even have to provide for us. We'll work our own job. We'll provide our own food. We'll clothe ourselves. We just want to be with a man. Does that sound crazy to you? And you know how many women hook up with these broke jokers all the time just because they want to be with a man? I could meddle here, but I'll leave this alone. Seven women. Okay, maybe I will meddle with just a little bit. Seven women. No job. Got a criminal record long enough to write a novel. And you want to hook up with this dude? Bro over here got a college degree, got a job, and you can't even look at him at all? Why are women doing this? Because God put inside of them a desire for authority. And the way that you get authority is that you have to submit unto authority. And I'll tell you why. Why is it that there are seven women going after one man? There aren't enough men to go around. Want to know why there aren't enough men to go around? Because most of them are incarcerated. Most of them are running the streets. Most of them are fooling around in stuff they don't even have business fooling around with. And sadly say, most of them are in the grave. Isaiah 3:25 says, thy men shall fall by the sword and thy mighty in the war. That our brothers are falling out because of war, because they're fighting and killing each other. Because they didn't understand their position and their identity as a man. We find that God put inside of women a desire to submit under authority, because it's through her submission to authority, it's through anyone's submission to authority, that they gain authority. We find in Genesis 3:16, God speaking to Eve after they have just eaten of the fruit. It says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's a desire that was put inside of every woman to submit unto a husband. And by her submission, she actually is empowered and enabled. That's the job of a man, is to empower his wife, to enable her, to cultivate her, to help her become all that she needs to be. But because there aren't any brothers out there that want to submit unto God, who is his authority, he has no authority to delegate unto the wife. And so this starts a horrible cycle, a horrible chain reaction, which no one is walking in their proper position and their proper authority. And because of that, the devil is wreaking havoc in our families and in our lives. 2 Timothy 3:1 says this, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, That as we see in our culture, the anthem that is constantly being sung in our culture, especially among men, is that rebellion is the status quo. I'm my own man. I can be my own man. I can do whatever I want. Even as young boys, they are constantly trying to be a man, trying to be tough, trying to be hard, trying to be a thug, trying to be the biggest and the baddest on the street. Why is that? They are trying to get authority, but they're completely negating the process. And because that man is not submitted unto his head, which is Christ, the devil by default becomes his master. We keep reading on in verse 3 of 2 Timothy 3. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for this... Now look at this. For this sort are they which creep into houses, these guys. These are the guys that creep into houses and lead captive silly women. I'll just let that sit for a minute. Laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Our families are falling apart because that no one wants to submit under authority. Nobody wants to follow authority. They fail to recognize that when you do submit under authority, that's when it really works. Mankind refuses to acknowledge that there is a power higher than him. And through logical reasoning and through technological discovery, mankind has tried to remove the necessity for there being a God. He has created all sorts of theories and all sorts of philosophies to relegate God to a myth or a fantasy so that he himself can be his own God. You turn on BET or you turn on VH1 or MTV, all you see are rappers saying, I'm God, basically. I can make it rain. Look at my whip. Look at my ice. Look at my house. Look at my this. And saying, I'm the biggest and the baddest. I'm God. There's no other creature that's bigger or better than me. This rebellious spirit that has captivated our culture. And because of that, we're being short-circuited. The Bible says in Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, saying that I'm my own man, I'm my own master. You have not become your own man, your own master. Everyone submits unto something or to someone. And even though you think you're your own boss, you're a slave to your own habits. You're a slave to your own nature. And you cannot get free from that particular nature until you submit to a greater power, which is Christ Jesus. The only way the church of the living God is going to start walking in power and in dominion in the manifestation of the Spirit of God is if we become submissive unto our head, which is Christ Jesus. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That word power there in the Greek is exousios, another translation for authority. That the only way you can get authority and get a right to do anything truly is by coming and submitting unto God. And that's why you have so much godlessness going on, and that's why you have so much pain and tribulation, because man is not submitting unto authority. Another way of looking at it is this, and y'all can identify this, I've done it myself, that we've done stuff that God did not authorize. And because God did not authorize it, we get kicked in the behind and we get hurt. If you get in a car accident and it's not in your insurance policy, they're not going to cover the cost and compensate you for what has happened to your vehicle. And in the same sense, when you start walking outside of God's authority, outside of God's word and outside of his will, there is no coverage for you. And so the devil wreaks havoc in your life. And that's why it's a necessity that we submit unto authority. I want to go to my scripture text, back to Matthew 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I send you that I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Question number 2, how do I receive or walk in authority? And again, I've been saying it already, by submitting ourselves to God. And you cannot wage war until you understand the right that you have to wage it. Unless you get the proper permission, the proper licensing to act in against the enemy, the devil. The Bible says this in Mark 10:42. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. The fact of the matter is, in the church we have seen this idea of being a master or being a lord. We see it even within the clergy and within the pastorship, that we see some ministers, they have to have three armor bearers to carry their briefcase and to carry their anointed oil and so on. They need someone to recognize them. They need a parade and entourage whenever they walk inside of the church to be esteemed and to receive accolades and the praises of men. But God said that if you want to be great, it's not wrong to want to be great in the kingdom of God. It's wrong whenever you don't want to serve and do what's necessary to become great in the kingdom of God. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, then you must learn to submit and surrender and serve and do what is in the best interest of the kingdom of God. And the greater the submission, the greater the authority. The greater you allow God's control in your life, the greater he can use you and the more he can delegate to you to operate in his kingdom. Now, how do we submit unto God? Number one, we have to humble ourselves. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That word submit there in James 4:7 is the Greek word hupotasso. It's a Greek military term meaning to arrange a troop into divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. In other words, whenever you're submitting, you're basically signing up for duty to wage war against the devil. You are not a pew warmer. You're not a bench warmer. That when God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, he has equipped you to wage war against the kingdom of darkness. And the thing is, if you're going to submit, you've got to get yourself to a place when you're going to receive the commands that Jesus is saying. The Bible says in Luke 6, Jesus said, how can you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? How can you say that I am your Savior, that I am your Master, that I am your God, and you do not obey what my word says? You do not follow commands. Imagine an army that did not follow the commands of its leader. It would be in dysfunction. If it went to war, it would be easily dismantled and destroyed. And God is saying that the reason why you have been losing in your fight is because you've been trying to fight it in your own strength. You are not in a position to receive the commands from your leader. If you'll just get to a place of prayer, if you'll get to a place of repentance, a place of surrender, where God, I give you full and complete and total control, then God can instruct you how to get out of your mess and how to defeat your situation and how to defeat your enemy. But instead, we want to command our own army. We think we're better than our general. You need to get to a place where God, it does not matter how foolish it sounds. God, I'm going to follow your commands. When Haman, who was afflicted with leprosy, came to Elijah, hallelujah, and Elijah told him that you need to go wash in the Jordan River. He's like, I'm not doing that. That river's dirty and filthy. If you want to get victory, guess what? You got to go down in the water. If you want to get victory and deliverance, you've got to submit and surrender yourself. And the only reason why you're losing is because you're not submitted. Little tangent, just bear with me here for a moment. You know, whenever someone witnesses, let's say, a crime. Let's say you saw a mob boss murder somebody. And the FBI wants you to testify against this mob boss. And what they say is that, okay, we're going to put you in a witness protection program. And we're going to give you a completely new identity, new driver's license, social security number. We're going to move you to a new location, give you a new house, and so that you will be safe so this mob boss will not come and find you and kill you. The only condition is you cannot go back to your old friends or your old family. You cannot go back to your old places. You cannot do any of the things you used to do before you saw this crime happen. Otherwise, the mob boss is going to find you and he's going to kill you. In the same sense, when you got saved, Jesus Christ put you in his witness protection program. You saw Jesus do something. And the thing is, the devil's looking, trying to get you. But he can't find you because, as the Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 2, it says, set your affections on God, where Christ sits on, set your affections above and not on things on earth, where, so that you can be hidden in Christ. Let me put it up there. Set your affection on things above. Put it on there. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life, your identity is hid with Christ in God. And anytime you try to go back to that old identity, that's where the devil can find you. But as long as you stay under the blood and you keep associating with who Christ says you are now, the devil can't find you. The devil can't find you. There needs to be a place of submission and surrender in the church. Number two, you humble yourself by putting yourself into a position to receive the commands of God. 1 Peter 5:5 says this, likewise, ye younger, submit, that's that same word, hopatosso, yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. If you're walking in any type of pride and saying, I can do this better than God can, the Bible says God resists you and you cannot receive anything of God. Now, when it says the phrase and be clothed with humility, the Greek word there is ekoumbomai. It literally means this. The ekogumbai, this was the white scarf or apron of slaves, which was fastened to the belt of the vest and distinguished slaves from freemen. Hence, in 1 Peter 5:5, gird yourselves with humility as a servile garb, means by putting on humility, show your subjection one to another. Also, this refers to the overalls which slaves wore to keep clean while working on an exceedingly humble garment. In other words, when it says to clothe yourself with humility, it says put on the garment of a slave. That piece of garment they're referring to was the clothes that a slave would wear. And that garment identified them as being subservient to those around them. The Bible tells us that if we're going to walk in power, if we're going to receive God's grace, you've got to put on a garment of slavery, of servitude unto God. Now, we don't like that word slavery. We don't like that word slavery. And please understand, I'm not making a case for slavery when I say this next statement, okay? Please understand me. But if you were a slave, you didn't have to worry about what you were going to eat. Your slave master had to feed you. You didn't have to worry what you had to wear. They had to provide the clothes for you. They had to provide for all of your needs when you were in servitude. And in the same sense, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you would just humble yourself. But I don't want to look foolish. I don't want to be ostracized or isolated by turning and walking this new way. What if people make fun of me? What if people mock me? Does not matter, because you've got to put on that garment if you're going to receive God's grace. And the thing is, God has not asked us to do anything that he didn't do himself. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Jesus, who was God, put on the form of a bondservant. He humbled himself and took on the form of a human being. Eternity was confined to temporality. He did that. And look what it says. He was made in the likeness of man. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that at every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Remember, I said that the greater the submission, the greater the authority. Jesus Christ submitted himself in a way that no other person could. And because he submitted himself greater than no other person could, that he was God Almighty and he confined himself to humanity. The Bible said that all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He humbled himself unto death. And the Bible said that he was given a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. That the way to go up in God is you've got to get down. You've got to get on your knees. You've got to turn from your wicked ways. You've got to repent and give yourself fully over to God. Now, here's the thing I want you to understand. Back in my scripture text, Matthew 8. The centurion was told that he had the greatest faith in all of Israel. And he was also the man who understood authority. The person that had the greatest faith had the greatest understanding of authority. And one of the reasons why that we fail to receive in God is because we don't understand our position in God and where our help comes from. You think that it's by your authority that you're laying hands on the sick person and they're getting healed. You think it's by your authority that you find a job and a place of employment. No, it's not coming from you. It's coming from something above you. And when you understand who holds you in the palm of his hand, we understand that your authority derives from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who made heaven and earth just by his word. When you understand that concept, then you can have faith to stand against the devil and say it is written and expect it to come to pass. This centurion had such humility that he said, I'm not even worthy to come for you to come underneath my roof. But just speak the word only. I know, and the reason why he understood this is because he said, I'm a man of authority. And I just give a command and it's done. The thing is, the Roman emperor who's in Rome could give a command and it would be done instantly or as soon as the message would get there in Israel. Even though he's thousands of miles away. Why? Because of his position. Because of who he is, whatever he speaks, when that command is given, that command is fulfilled and is followed. If we would understand that, and become men or women under authority, that we could speak the word and there's going to be a result. That the Bible said that God's word does not return void, but it accomplishes that which it was sent out to do, and it prospers whereunto he sent it. That it says in Psalm 107 verse 20 that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them of their destruction. Just by you speaking God's word to the situation when you're under authority, you're going to see results. You got to find a place of repentance. Where the centurion was at when he had this exchange with Jesus was Capernaum. The Capernaum literally means the field of repentance. It was at the field of repentance that the centurion recognized Jesus' authority. When you get to a place when you'll finally turn away from the life that you're living and fully commit and surrender your all to God, in the field of repentance is where you will recognize Christ's authority, his right to forgive you of your sin, to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Capernaum is also called the village of comfort. Because it's at the village of comfort, it's at the place of repentance that the comforter comes and fills you and you become a new person in Christ, that the Holy Spirit comes. It comes only by you turning yourself completely and totally over to God. Number four, put your complete trust in God. 1 Peter 5, 6 says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know what's interesting? In Matthew 13, also in Mark 4, it talks about the parable of the sower. And in that parable, it talks about how there was a farmer, a sower, he was scattering seed, planting seed. And some seed fell on the wayside, which is a pathway, and some seed fell amongst thorns. Some seed fell amongst the stony ground, and some seed fell on good ground. When the Bible begins to describe, interpret what the thorns represent, because the seed represents God's word, the soil represents the heart of man, and the condition of the soil represents the receptiveness to God's word to be changed. When the Bible gives the interpretation as to what the thorns represent, the Bible says that the thorns represent the cares of this life. The cares of this life and the lusts and the desires of this world. What I find to be interesting is that when Jesus was crucified, they put on him a crown of thorns. That Jesus Christ had every one of your cares on his mind when he was being crucified. And the Bible says, casting all your cares upon him that careth for you. Don't you understand that you don't have to worry about how it's going to work out? Jesus was already caring about it so that you don't have to. They thrust a crown of thorns into his skull. And as he was carrying that cross and carrying that thorns upon his head, upon his authority, he was carrying your concerns. He was carrying your worries. He was carrying your disbelief. He was carrying your fears. He was carrying your disappointments. He was carrying all the things that you care about so that you don't have to. But that's what happens when you submit and you surrender under authority. You don't have to care in that regard. Something else I want to also point out. Psalm 37:5, and I'm going to wrap this up. Psalm 37:5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. There's this commissioning, this committing, this submitting, this surrendering. Now, when I looked at the Hebrew word that's used there for commit, it's the word galal. And to get a better understanding of what galal really means, turn with me to Genesis 29. Genesis 29, verse 1. Genesis 29, verse 1 says, then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked and beheld a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered. And they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. That word where it says, and they rolled the stone, is the same Greek Hebrew word for commit. To commit means to remove the covering that's on the well of your spirit, which is your mouth, and speak and confess the word of God even when things don't look right. It says that the stone was covering the source of sustenance for the sheep. And whenever they were committing to the stone, they rolled. The same word for commit was to roll away. They rolled away what was covering the mouth of the well. And when they rolled the stone away, water came forth and nourishment came forth and it fed the sheep. God is saying here today that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. If you roll the stone away and open up your mouth and commit with your lips and with your actions, the word of God, the Bible said that there's going to be a spring of living water that rises up within your soul. John 7:38 says that he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Roll the stone away. Commit with your lips. Commit with your heart. And there will come up a spring of water. Isaiah 12:2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. That is so hard to do when you get the bills and on stacking up on the counter of your kitchen table and saying that there's no way that you're going to be able to pay for this. That's when you've got to open the well. You've got to roll the stone and commit and begin to praise God with all that you have. That when you get the report that you've got a bad mammogram, you've got to roll the stone away and start committing my wax to God. Hallelujah. That Job did not charge God foolishly nor curse God, but he said that he's going to bless God even in all times. In every situation, we've got to bless God and commit ourselves to him. We've got to become people under authority. We have to be people under authority. The centurion understood that. And because he understood that he just went home. And when he got home, it was all taken care of. He said, you don't even have to come over. You just speak the word and it's going to be done. That's all God has to do, is just speak the word. But we've got to submit unto him. The reason why we're not seeing the results that we're looking for whenever we're praying for, because we're not completely submitted. We're not completely submitted unto him. Let's stand. I'm done. Here's the thing. Christ calls us not to the life of the rich and famous. He doesn't call us necessarily to be affluent or influential. But his invitation is given by saying, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, which is a form of execution, and follow him. What kind of invitation is that? Come and die with me. That's what God is saying. You got to die out to your old self. You've been wrestling, you've been struggling, trying to do things your own way, and you're getting defeated. But it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. And when you fully surrender that situation to God and surrender your life unto God, That is when you're going to start seeing victory. You've got to become a man under authority. It's only by submitting unto God that God enables you, gives you the right to speak. It's so funny, we get in a crisis. You know, we'll run to God and say, God, you've got to fix this. We weren't here, you know, when everything was going fine. When everything's going fine, I don't want to hear all that. So we get a crisis, all of a sudden, oh God, you got to help me. But again, we don't want to do what he has to say. And one of the things I've discovered is that, you know, people, they blame God for stuff. They blame God for a lot of things. A lot of things that we see are caused by our own bad decisions. We just don't want to take responsibility. If we just take responsibility and just listen to what God is saying, we could avoid a lot of the trouble that we're in. You look at the nation of Israel, that time and time again, you read through the Old Testament, they constantly were being enslaved by taskmasters. And the reason why they got enslaved, because they quit listening to what God said. They just quit doing it. They got prideful, they got egotistical, said we're fine on our own. And then an army would invade and they become slaves. And then they start repenting and start turning to God, and God would rescue them. But that's about as far as it would go, and then they would just fall right back into their own thing. God is saying here, look, if you really want to experience victory, if you want to experience the salvation I'm talking about, then you've got to submit. You've got to become a man under authority. If you want to see victory in your life, whatever it is that you're fighting, it could be an addiction, it could be financial, it could be mental illness, it could be whatever it is. If you would just submit and surrender, and when you do that, God will enable you. He'll give you the license, the right to fight against the enemies that you are confronting. But you've got to submit. You've got to submit. This is not just something that's just for women to do in marriage. It's for everybody. We all have to submit under our head. God is telling the church to go lay hands on the sick. We don't want to do that. God is telling the church to give money to the poor. We don't want to do that. The head is giving. It's literally like we're paralyzed. The Bible says that we're the body of Christ. Christ is the head. When the head is giving signals to the body and the body doesn't do anything, that's called paralysis. That's called a spinal column failure. Something's going on. The signals aren't seeming to get through. And the only way that we're going to get through is can connect to the head is through submission. Through submission. Quit fighting God. Quit arguing with his word. Quit justifying the sin that you're living in. You know that it's wrong. I'm just going to be blunt with you. You know that it's wrong. You don't need another Bible study. You don't need another sermon to be preached to you. You know right from wrong. You just don't want to do it. You know it. I know you're waiting for the clouds to depart and the sunbeam to come down and some baritone voice to say, behold. When God has already have over 4,000 years worth of writing that we're just ignoring, just do his word. Well, why should I submit? Now that's the question. That's the real question. This is also a little marriage seminar. Why should I submit unto my husband? Well, I'll tell you why. Here's why you should submit. Because he loves you. That's the simple answer. My wife does not follow my leadership because I'm the man. Because I'm in charge. I run this house. I'm the king of my castle. Nonsense. My wife submits to me because I love her. Because I've romanced her into submission. I'm so good to her that she wants to submit to me. Yeah, I said it. I'll amen myself on that one. And I'm not lying, baby, am I? Am I lying? Tell the truth and shame the devil. God is so good to you that you want to follow his word in gratitude and thanksgiving to him. That's what it's all about. That's why you should submit to him. Not because I'm God and if you don't submit unto me, I'm going to pop you upside the back of your head with a lightning bolt and make your brains explode. I'm going to suck you down into hell and torture you for all eternity. In a marriage, that would be called a very abusive spouse. You know, that's not God. God is a loving husband and proved his love by dying on the cross for you. That's why you should submit. That's why you should give your life to him, because he gave his life for you. And in gratitude and thanksgiving to this great God who limited himself in flesh, we ought to submit ourselves into. I offer you this opportunity to come to Christ. I offer you this opportunity to surrender your all. And when you do that, when you believe on him, as the scripture has said, the Bible said that he will fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You become a new creature. You become a new person. The old way that you used to be, the old person you used to be, is gone. You just need to surrender. You just need to surrender. Don't fight God. Don't fight it. But I love this way, but he loves you more. He loves you more. But I did X, Y, and Z. I made this mistake, and I failed this way, and I've done this. His love is greater. His love is greater than any sin you have ever committed. When we make statements like that, we're saying that, Jesus, you being whipped with those lashes and being pierced with those nails was not enough to save me. How dare we? No. His death on the cross was enough. I offer you this opportunity. Become a person, a man under authority. And when you do that, the Bible says to them that believe on his name, gave he power, authority, to become the sons of God. Come and submit unto him. Submit that hatred. Submit your bitterness. Submit your broken marriage. Submit your broken home. Submit your sicknesses and your diseases. Submit your attitude, your ego. Submit your mouth. Submit your whole body, your hands and your feet, your life. Give it all over to God, because God gave it all over for you. Don't fight it. Just submit. Just surrender. That's it. Come on. Come on down here. Come to the cross. Come and find true health. Try and find true help and true peace. True liberation. Stop fighting it. Don't let the devil fool you into making you think that you got it all under control. You don't. God is reaching for someone today. Come on down. What I want you to do is what we did last week. I want to have some time of repentance. The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Come on, right now, right where you are, just begin to submit yourself to God. Get yourself in a position to say, Lord, I will do whatever you say. God, I give my heart to you. I give my life to you, because you gave your life for me. When I look at the crown of thorns being thrust into your skull, when I look at how you prayed in the garden and sweat as if it were great drops of blood, when I look and see the cat of nine tails impaling your back and ripping the very flesh from your body, when I look and see them spitting in your face and slapping you and saying, who slapped you if you're the Messiah? When I look at you carrying your own form of execution while the entire city of Jerusalem pelted you with stones mocking you. When I look and see them mocking you as you hung on the cross and say, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. When I look and see those nails piercing your hands and your feet, I become undone. And I say, God, I want to give my life to you. Right now, begin to do it right here, right now. Give your life to the Lord. Give your life to the Lord right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Repent. Give it to God. Commit. Roll the stone away. Remember I talked about rolling the stone about the well? Open your mouth and let the well of the Spirit come out of you. Let the water come out. Commit yourself to him. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Commit yourself to him, Lord.
Amen. Well, the Lord has spoken to us today.